Good morning, everyone. Well, Celeste, we hadn't heard this ugly sound in Baghdad barely 24 hours ago. We haven't heard this sound in quite a while. That's the sound on a shaky mobile phone obtained by the Associated Press of the second of two suicide bombs that struck near the fortified Green Zone in Baghdad. The death toll from these attacks keeps rising. It's above 150 as of this morning. The tactics are familiar. A first bomb followed by a second bomb, you'll recall, as rescuers come to the scene and the second bomb detonates, multiplying the number of casualties. And, of course, these bombings take place as Iraq is preparing for elections in January.
Although they may be delayed.
We've already heard that they may be delayed. So that is a fragile process that may be threatened here. The security force is trying to demonstrate that they can ensure security for the people of Iraq.
Maliki is trying to say Iraq is a stable country. He's taking down blast walls. Things are returning to normal life in Iraq.
And the Obama administration trying to enforce its withdrawal of troops from the cities. All of this is affected or potentially targeted by these attacks. But first joining us is Jane Araf, the Iraq correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor and Middle East editor for Global Post. Jane, good morning there in Baghdad, and give us a sense of the scene of what's going on this morning.
Good morning, John. It's a typical Baghdad thing in that yesterday, if you had been there yesterday and I was walking around shortly after the blast, it was absolutely horrific. Literally blood flowing in the streets, mangled bodies, mangled cars. The scene today is very different because there is a tendency here to figuratively and literally sweep things away as quickly as possible. It looks relatively normal except for the blackened hulks of these buildings, which essentially have been destroyed. There isn't a whole lot of work going on in those ministries. And in the streets, the same feeling there has been since that huge August 19th bombing at two other ministries that we're in for quite a dangerous period of time.
Is there clarity, Jane, as to who did this, who carried out these bombings? And were people expecting, a shoe to drop here for violence to escalate as the U.S. troops withdraw from the cities?
They are expecting it, and not just as U.S. troops withdraw, but as the elections come closer, as you mentioned. There is very rarely clarity here, but there's very often a consensus, and the consensus among the government certainly is that this was carried out by al-Qaeda in Iraq and planned, perhaps, by ex-Ba'athists. Those are the usual suspects that they turn to. This had very much the hallmarks of an al-Qaeda attack, the amount of explosives used, the coordination. When I talked to people in the streets yesterday, they were blaming it on other countries, blaming it on the U.S., and perhaps for the first time, blaming it on their own government. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is still quite popular in the streets, but they were saying that it was the government that has failed to protect them, along with the United States.
Now, Washington officials were quick to say that the Iraqi people are opposed to these kinds of attacks and can weather the storm and move forward. Is that what you're hearing on the streets?
That's a really interesting view, and it's a little bit cynical, isn't it? Because, yes, of course, they can weather the attacks. They can move forward. They don't really have a choice. It's one step forward, two steps back many times. We're talking about a government that was essentially paralyzed to begin with. There are not a whole lot of decisions being made here. There are not a lot of functioning ministries the way they think they are, the way that we tend to think they are. And the U.S. is very much facing a deadline. It's very worried about that deadline, which is why we see these repeated statements that Parliament must pass an election law.
You're referring to the 2010.
There are a lot of things that have to happen.
The 2010 deadline you're referring to for the withdrawal of U.S. troops. Jane Araf, the Iraq correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, Middle East editor for Global Post, who joined us from Baghdad. Jane, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
So the question for regional diplomats and policymakers in Washington and Iraq is, does more of this... Yeah, that's the sound from those twin suicide bombings in Baghdad yesterday. Does more of that complicate Iraq's plans for elections next January? Does it inflame divisions between central Iraq and northern Kurdistan, for instance, or between Sunni and Shiite factions? Does it slow down the pace of the U.S. withdrawal of troops? Senator John McCain doesn't think so.
It's extremists trying to ignite sectarian violence is what's going on. But it's they've still got a ways to go, but it's not going to require any delay in withdrawal of U.S. troops.
We're here again with Yost Hilterman, Deputy Program Director for the Middle East and North Africa with the International Crisis Group. Yost, you just heard Jane Araf suggesting that the Iraqi people, no matter what American policymakers may say about them being willing to weather the storm, have absolutely no choice. Does the U.S. government have a choice in slowing down the withdrawal of troops here in the face of these bombings?
Well, I think that the domestic pressures in the United States are such that it would be very difficult for President Obama to slow down the troop withdrawals. But I think at the same time that it should be given some consideration, not to stop the withdrawals, but to reconsider the timetable, because security remains unstable. And more importantly, we're about to face a major political crisis in Iraq around the elections and the formation of a new government.
Now, Jane Aroff was saying that Nouri al-Maliki is popular on the streets of Baghdad and in Iraq. If the election were held today, do you think he would win?
I think he would have a good chance, but his alliance is not the only one running, obviously. He faces some formidable foes. So he may end up being the largest group and being designated to form the new government, but he certainly would have trouble forming a government because he must find other groups to ally himself with.
And where are the fractures then? Because it's a little puzzling to me what the threshold point is for the people who are carrying out these attacks. Do they want the elections to be delayed? Do they want Iraq to just sort of fall apart? Do they want to bring down Maliki? Or do they just want to make delays and then for propaganda purposes say, hey, look what we did?
Well, I think it's the latter point, mostly. I think they want to disrupt the political process. They want to puncture Mr. Maliki's image as the man who brought peace to Iraq, but it's not directed at Maliki specifically. They would do it against anyone leading the government today. So they want to make sure that everybody knows that they're still around and that their demands are not being heard and being answered.
Is this? I assume this is a completely separate fight from what's going on inside the parliament, where they can't agree on number one, votes in Kurdish territories, but also on whether or not people can vote by party and whether they have to list individual candidates. That's a separate issue.
It is a separate issue. It is a separate issue. But I would say that Mr. Maliki's opponents, who are plentiful and who are, of course, also in the parliament, certainly would take advantage of these bombings, even though they would never come out and say that. And already they've done it to say that Mr. Maliki is not the leader who can bring security to Iraq. And so all of these games start overlapping and intertwining.
Well, Joost Hilterman, Deputy Program Director for the Middle East and North Africa with the International Crisis Group. He's speaking to us from Washington, D.C. You know, Celeste raises an interesting point there. As we've seen in Afghanistan, the Taliban, which has attacked institutions inside Afghanistan, prefers to remain outside of the political process.
Right.
If these are Baathists in Iraq who are responsible for this disruption, are they insisting on staying outside the political process? We'll call for a boycott of elections? Or is there some deal that can be negotiated to bring them into the government in some way?
I think they need to be marginalized. These are a fairly small group, but very powerful, because they have their hands on powerful explosives, as we saw,
sure.
Because there is a lot of unsecured material still from 2003, from the war. And so they can do this. But the key is the remainder of the Sunni community, or the majority of the Sunni community, and where their loyalty lies. And these bombs, in a way, are also aimed at telling these people there's no point in joining this Shiite government, and they will never govern Iraq and provide protection for everyone, including for you. And so you should be with us.
All right, then that raises another point, and that is the threshold here to re-engage and re-inflame the sectarian violence that was so destabilizing in 2004 and 2005 in Iraq between Sunnis and Shia? I mean, al-Qaeda and the Baathists are Sunni, but can they really sort of trigger something much broader?
I doubt very much that they at this point would be able to trigger sectarian violence. That is not really it may be part of the aim, but it's not a realistic aim. What is more realistic is to generally disrupt the political process and to show to everyone that Iraq cannot be governed. And that therefore, because there's a notion that the Shiites are incapable of governing, that it's time to bring the Sunnis back to power because they have always governed Iraq.
All right. The U.S. is backing Nouri al-Maliki and is backing this election process. From your perspective, Joost Hilterman, what is the U.S. government getting wrong in Iraq based on this attack?
Well, I think what they're getting wrong is the idea that they can leave without leaving behind something that is sustainable. What they need to do is to continue to build up Iraqi forces, and they need, most importantly, to mediate a set of political deals between the Iraqi actors on the disputed territories in the north, which are claimed by the Kurds, and on power sharing, and also on how oil is managed and the
Indeed.
Revenues of oil sales are shared.
Well, familiar issues, familiar challenges for both the Iraqi government and the U.S. government. Joost Hilterman is Deputy Program Director for the Middle East and North Africa with the International Crisis Group, talking about how those challenges change or get more difficult in the wake of the twin suicide bombings that killed more than 150 people in Baghdad yesterday. Joost, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.